Welcome back to the Real Life Moms Podcast. It's time to take a break from all our to-dos and take time to focus on ourselves. I'm Lisa Foster, your host, and today we are discussing mastering your money. And I'm here with fellow mom, Joanna Doibin. She is passionate about helping moms become educated and take control of their money. Welcome, Joanna, to the show.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm so excited to be here.
And I'm excited about this conversation because money is one of my limiting beliefs. It's like, it's my upper limit problem. I know you love helping moms really understand. I love the education that you really want to give to moms and women, not just moms, but women too, so that they can make better financial decisions. So why did you become so passionate in the first place?
I say money is in my DNA, which is like literally true. My dad wrote a book about personal finance that is a basis of one of the courses I teach, organizing your money. And my grandpa sold life insurance, and I own a life insurance agency as well. So that there's the lineage of this passion. And I remember ever since I was a little girl and I had my first babysitting job, like I remember handling my money and knowing how to handle my money and the confidence it gave me every time I got a better job or more money to go back to the system I was taught. And that's the key. I was taught. So if I hadn't been taught, I would have been clueless, just like most people are. That's my passion for teaching others, is because I had that leg up and I see the difference it made in my life.
It sounds like it was in your blood, literally your dad and grandfather all. And I love that. You're right. I look back. In fact, my daughter the other day, she's already going to college soon, right? Next year. And she's like, Mom, you didn't do a good job around finances for me. Because she really, like, she's worried about the whole loans and just how to pay for things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. Like I have not, the word is taught. So that is such an important piece.
Yeah. So you did mention that I love to teach moms about the money stuff, but also women, also dads, also men, also children. Like I'm a mom of kids and I hear the language we use around our kids and how that's already imprinting on them. Some of the money imprints we got from our upbringing and how do we say this, not that. So I am so passionate about money in general. Moms are my people. So that's why I start with that. And oftentimes what happens is they say, Lisa, they say, I'm letting my husband take care of it. And they say that kind of in a way of like, look, I checked the box on the money, right? Yeah. I delegated this. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell all women and in partnerships, it's our responsibility too. And letting the guy take care of it may not mean that it's getting taken care of. Can you relate to this at all?
Oh my God, you know I can. And I just also want to say, because my husband comes from finance, right? And so I also had a thought in my head, I think when we first got married, like he's got this, right? He's got finance, so he knows how to be savvy. But here's the deal. There was a lot of firsts for him too, like owning a home, how to do a mortgage, making those right choices. And you know what? He didn't know all that either. And I didn't learn that until kind of later. And so what I realized was now I do too much of the finances, which you know this about me, and I'm almost too in charge of it. Like I do all the bills. The only thing I don't fully tackle, but now I've started to this year, is taxes. My husband's always been kind of in charge of that, but no longer, because as I was filling out the FAFSA forms for my daughter's college, because I did that as well, not him. And I found that I was like, wow, I had to really look at those tax returns for the first time. And I was just shocked.
Oh, I haven't looked at my tax returns. I delegate that too. But look, we can't do it all. And we're not meant to do it alone either, 100%. It really is a household. So yes. Everyone in the household should understand the money. So I have really high hopes for like my career. I just stumbled upon money education. It's something that I've been in a while, but I've just started to look at it as a career and a passion and a purpose of mine. And I hope in 20 years and in 30 years, I have people coming to me and saying, Joanne, I'm so glad you taught me X, Y, Z. Like to me, I'm a millionaire if that happens. And I will be a millionaire if that happens too, because a lot of people get paid, financial professionals get paid well to help other people secure their money and grow it, you know? And so there's the actual movement of the money, Lisa. And then what I'm loving for the moms and the women specifically is the energetics behind the money, mm-hmm. the thought process, the worthiness, the limiting beliefs about the money. And so while I'm so passionate about the X's and O's and the dollars and the cents and the masculine side of money and teaching it and monetizing on that, there's a business there. I'm so excited to serve in that space. I keep getting this whisper of like, but let's talk about what's really underneath all of it, mm-hmm. why we're avoiding it, why we're delegating it, why we want to stay away and not talk about it. And so there's so much to be said about the femininity of money and of worthiness when it comes to money. And so that's really probably something your listeners want to get, like, you know, good at, is feeling like you're in the vibe of receiving.
Yes, for sure. And I love that you actually talk about, you control your money. Don't let your money control you. I love that. Can you dive into that piece for us?
You control your money really means the flow. All of the money coming into your household bank accounts, all those accounts, and then all the money flowing out. Do you know how much in general flows in every month? Incomes, your wages, your you know, pensions, your social security checks, any sort of income from side hustles or real estate or stocks, or, you know, well, if you're paying out from stock account, but like any income that you have every month, and then what goes out in terms of expenses? What is your mortgage or your rent, and what are your utilities? The actual in and out, if you know those two numbers, you can control the out more, right? You can't necessarily get more income, but you can control, can we limit how much is going out so we can keep more? Mm-hmm. And that's the basis of controlling your money.
I think I've heard you say also that when money is also controlling you, because I know this happened to me, even today, we make our decisions on, we do, you know, do we go to the gym or do we just like, you know, do cartwheels down in our basement because that's all we can do.
YouTube or like, free video.
Exactly. YouTube videos, right? Because it's like kind of controlling my decisions. And like, honestly, today I had to take my daughter to check to get her wisdom teeth possibly removed, right? And so I chose my provider to see which one my insurance covered, right? That's a smart money decision. But we went and it was kind of an awful, awful situation. It was just like not a good fit for lots of reasons. Okay. And I was like, oh no. And she's like, well, all my friends use this guy. And I look and I'm like, oh my God, he's not under our insurance, right? And in my head, I was like, no, I have to pick the guy in my insurance. But yet that felt unsafe, unsanitary, un-everything. Like, did not feel good. And I thought of those words because I had listened to another podcast with you on it. And I thought of those words. I can't let money control such a big, I mean, she's going for surgery and such a big decision. So I said, okay, let me breathe. But inside I felt like angst and nausea and all these things, you know, that you feel. But I really felt like it was controlling my decision at that point. And net, long story short, I actually called the one she wanted. Turns out that my out-of-network and in-network benefits are pretty similar and that it would cost the same and she can get the person I wanted. But if I didn't take that extra step out of my comfort zone of having this money controlling me, I took back the control, I feel like, and I made that call, and now it's a better situation for everybody. However, I think it controls us all the time. It's really hard to take a pause and not and step out of that fear, because there's fear with that control too.
So many things. First of all, such a great analogy with a dentist, out of network. Do I go for it? And some people would stop right there and been like, it's out of network. I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're listening to this podcast and there's a pen and paper nearby, write that phrase down. I can't afford it. Because how many times do we say that or think that to ourselves? Out loud, we won't say it because it's kind of embarrassing to say you can't afford something. So you might be like, justification XYZ, right? And then just put a little Band-Aid and move on. But on the paper, if you did write this down, I can't afford it, cross it out. It's like, say this, not that, right? you take the power back by either saying, I choose to investigate further and see what it really will cost me because I value excellent surgical care and cleanliness and, you know, and all the things. And I'm worthy of paying what I need to pay for this to be the experience I want it to be. You can say, I want to explore this further, or how can I afford this, right? Not, I can't afford this. Cross it out and say, how can I afford this? And Lisa, you went and you're like, and that's your growth moment. Or let's say you found out it was $27,000 to remove her wisdom teeth. She might be going to the other guy. He's probably okay. Cross our fingers, right? And take Purell because $27,000 might not be what the wisdom teeth. I'm just making an example, in which case you still don't need to say, I can't afford it. You say, I'm choosing not to spend $27,000.
Yes.
You're in your power. Boom.
I love that. Yes, I love that. Or let's face facts. You can go back to your insurance company and try somebody else too.
Right.
And I love that. Just taking back that I choose to not do that. Yes. In fact, once again, my kids asked for Chick-fil-A today. And I was like, I choose not to spend my money on that today, but because I'm going to take you on Saturday to Starbucks, we're going to have a Starbucks date. So that's what I'm choosing to use my money for. Mm-hmm. You have your own money. You can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. That phrase is what anyone that has a pen in hand should say. I choose not to spend my money on this. When my kids ask me for something and I decide that that's not worth the value exchange, I say, I'm choosing not to spend money on that. They do have their own money. I say, if you have money in your wallet, you can get that for yourself. And it's modeling for them because my alternative is my rich life. I love this phrase. My rich life is Starbucks on Saturday. And that's where you want it, your money to go to, right? And so your rich life is different for everyone. It's like, what's the thing that's going to light me up? And let me be intentional about sacrificing Chick-fil-A on a Thursday for the Starbucks on a Saturday. Let me sacrifice the eating out once a week to that one staycation I really want a night away at a hotel. Because I do this. I do these staycation trips, a night away at a hotel, 24 hours, right? Of just like laying in bed and Netflix and room service or whatever. And moms are like, how do you make this happen? And I'm like, because I thought I deserved it. And then I moved it forward, either got a sitter or my husband was with my kids or a combination of that. But like, we can be intentional about the things we get to do instead of feeling like we're always missing out and our money's controlling us because we can't do all the things that everyone's doing. And it's like, pick something that's really meaningful to you and let's go forward in making that happen.
Yeah, I love that. Now, I'm hearing savings though is important. You have to save for things. So let's talk about savings, okay? How do we save? Because I find, you know, you've got the bills, right? And then maybe you want to save for things like in the future, retirement, college, things like that, right? But then you also want to do something fun. And when budgets are pretty tight, because I think a lot of people, I'm feeling like everyone I'm talking to is tight. I hear a lot of people saying how tight their income is and how tight their budgets are. How do you even make that happen when you're on such a close budget?
Yeah, it's definitely a resounding sentiment that finances are tight right now. Things have become a lot more expensive. The almond milk, you know, is just the first thing that like I grabbed for the jug the first time the inflation prices can't hit. And I was just like, oh, this used to be two something. Now it's four something, you know? And so, yes, I don't really call it savings. I call it compartmentalizing. And really, it's just like different buckets that the income gets distributed into. And most of the time, the lifestyle is what needs to go down because 9 out of 10 people are overspending more than their income. Yeah. And so they're like, I can't save because I'm already to the max. You're maxed up because you're overspending. So it's a business decision. You know, you kind of have to put your business owner hat on. This is my home, right? I am the CEO of this home and the banking that it's involved in this home. And it looks like we're overextended. We need to make cuts. What are we cutting? So typically lifestyle, like subscriptions, Netflix, hand and stone, massage and facials, things like that. even things that were kind of necessities, like a manicure. If this is something you could skip, but like, you're like, this is hygiene, you just push it out. Instead of every 2 or 3 weeks, you go every 6 or 7 weeks. And so that's where it starts, is compartmentalizing your fixed money and then your day-to-day spending. Fixed money is accounted for. Your mortgage is accounted for, your rent, right? You can't move around that and the utilities and the insurances, right? The basic cell phone and internet. We're not going to cut out our cell phone and internet, right? That's ridiculous. But sometimes people do have to move. If they're overdone on their mortgage and it's just too tight, okay, the ego hit and then the identity crisis, and then you put your house up in the market and try to get something that's more affordable, or rent out that house and then rent your family a smaller dwelling. I mean, we have to learn the not to overspend, and part of the fixed budget, like the mortgage and the utilities, should be your savings, should be your pay yourself first. And whether that's savings, investments, emergencies, or luxuries, or all of that, we just start to take that, what you paid yourself, and put it into four compartments. Because what people want to do, they say, I want $10,000 in emergency budget. And then I want this much, $10,000 for a vacation. And then I want to, it's like, no, let's put $20 in each of these envelopes, let's call them, or, you know, compartments, and start to build them all up slowly. And then the same feeling you got from, like, buy it now on Amazon, cute cami dress or whatever, you get that same thrill now from being like, that bucket has another $100 in it, another $100 towards this vacation or staycation that I'm about to go on. And it becomes a game of like this discipline, but more of like, the money is going to get spent. I rather spend it on what I want and what I choose.
So as you're talking about that, you know, people don't really use envelopes very much anymore, but I know people have. I have like listened to like Rich Man, I think is it Rich Dad, Poor Dad or something. Like there were envelopes involved, I think. So yes. However, we probably aren't doing that. So how do you organize that? Do you have like a bank account that is just for, these are all the bills that are going to come out every month, I put that money in there, and then I have different accounts for other things?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you have to compartmentalize it electronically, because there's no checking books, there's no envelopes and cash, right, that we're counting out 20s anymore. But in the bank account, you have one account for all of your incomes. So your job, your spouse's job, any side hustles, any incomes that come into your household goes into one checking account. And it's very important to combine it all. Like, this is one house. We could debate that, you know, later, but that's what I say. So combine all the incomes here. And from the second account, you pay all of your fixed expenses. So your mortgage, utilities, et cetera. And if that tallies up to like $5,000 a month, you want to make sure that that income account, checking one, is always transferring over the equivalent of $5,000 every month. So your fixed expenses are always accounted for in this one separate account, that its only purpose is to make sure there's a roof over your head, right? And the lights are on and the water is flowing, et cetera. And then whatever's left in that first account is what you can live off of, period.
Okay.
So what most people don't do that they need to do is lower their expenses all across the board, just live below their means.
Yeah. Yeah. Which isn't always easy depending on your circumstances. Like you can make a lot of cutbacks, but still feel like, oh, wow, well, what's left is house, internet, right?
So if everybody recalls, think to yourself right now, what my household income is. It is XYZ123. Okay. My household income is this. What was it 20 years ago? It was less, but I still lived indoors and I was still fed. What does that mean? Every time we increase our income, we increase our lifestyle. And you think you're bare bones. You're not bare bones, baby, right? We're all living in $1 million houses, feeling, right? And that's the sad part of it. Broke in my $1 million house is a phrase I've said my own self. And I'm like, shame on you, right? We're just tight. But however, like 2 years ago, my income was more than it was now. And I'm still maintaining my lifestyle because when I had the increase in the income, I kept my expenses low. That's where most people 90-something% of people, they just increase income, increase lifestyle, increase income, increase lifestyle. So you were broke, you were that this much extra all the time versus, you know, increase income, keep your lifestyle here. All of this is play money, baby. You know, let's do something with this and not just more Amazon and more Starbucks. Coming from a family that consumes Amazon and Starbucks weekly, I do that myself. I could be more intentional, but that's not the point, is to brew your own coffee every damn day. It's to get it when you're intentional. Like, we're doing this because we've made space for it in our lifestyle.
Okay. So say we're all A students and we've increased our income and we've kept our lifestyle. So now we have this nice gap that is fun. Yes. What are some really good things to do when you do have that space and gap to really create savings, create maybe even, I like the word passive income personally. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend for that?
Okay. So I do own a life insurance and retirement agency. We do life insurance and retirement planning really, really well. And what I like about that is if people have extra money to do something smart with it, we don't want to save it in the bank because at the rate of inflation, the value of your dollar is less and less just sitting there. It's a 0.02% bank thing. A high yield savings now will give you 4 or 5%, which is nice. If it's in a high yield savings, better than a regular bank account. Right? What some people want to do is go try the stock market, go try crypto, go try real estate investing and do risky, sexy things that have a higher potential for return, but also it can be a loss, like you lost all your money, right? And so I wouldn't recommend that for just anyone, but for the person that's like, okay, I've got control of my cash flow. I have a cushion to work with. I recommend cash value life insurance personally, after everything I've seen. It's kind of like the Warren Buffett method of buy and hold for long. It's like, it's just like a little cute 7-9% growth. And it doesn't happen in 10 years or even 15 years. This has to sit for 20 or 30 years. And then it's going to be a nice little cushion to add to your retirement. So that's what I recommend for the average person that just wants to do something secure. And it's going to be a long, slow process, but they know at the end, that's how much it's going to accumulate. Does that make sense?
It sounds amazing. However, when I think life insurance, I think you pay every month. We do have, my husband has life insurance. We pay every month. And I feel like when he dies, we'll get the money, right? So can you explain how does that actually work?
Sure.
That you're making money on life insurance? I don't understand that.
Yes. So there's two main types of life insurance. One that is either like expires, like a term policy. That's just, if you die during this time, your family gets X.
Yes.
That's what most people get. And you know, most likely you'll outlive that 98% or so, but it's necessary if you have lots of debts, you don't want to leave your family with debt. So term life has a purpose. There's another type of life insurance that was developed, you know, by basically a tax code. There was a tax code break. So some wealthy people could use the stock market growth to grow their money, but not have to pay taxes on it. So it became cash value life insurance, where there is the death benefit, but there is the cash value side. So it's a two-part component. And the cash value side just follows the stock market. And over time, the stock market makes 10%, right? If you just buy and hold forever, like Warren Buffett says, you make about 10% on your investment. The insurance companies will give you about 7%. They'll keep 3%. And that's what cash value life insurance is in a nutshell. So that's a type people don't really know about as much, unless you're looking for financial advisor advice or your accountant, you know, tells you about it. But it's kind of like the secret that I'm shouting from the rooftops.
Yeah. Y'all,
the bomb.
So bomb. Are you able to take that out though? Like anytime So the actual growth of the money is kind of like you could take it out anytime without closing your life insurance. Is that
correct?
Right?
Correct.
Huh. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. This is just one of the many options that I'm super passionate about.
Yes. Yeah. I'm learning so much. Well, what do you think are like the most common mistakes that you see people just making financially?
Absolutely believe it's the mindset around money. It's the talk track. It's the beliefs, the thought processes, because any strategy on top of a broke mindset is wobbly.
Are there strategies that you like to teach people how to change their mindset?
Yeah, the easiest way for me is by rewriting repetitive negative thoughts through reminders on my iPhone. So I will put like mantras that I really want to embody when it comes to money, like money flows freely and easily to me is a very popular mantra in the money world. And I have a reminder that every day at 7 a.m. that pops up on my phone, just like if someone had texted me, like I don't miss a notification and my eyes read that every day. So it's like this subconscious thing that rewrites some of the money blocks that even of money, you know, positive money mindset people have them as well. I love that hack. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that one too, but you know, I have to say, I feel like I'm a positive person. I do all the whole abundance mindset and I try to really work on my mindset, especially around money. Cause I do think it's one of my blocks personally, but even when I'm having like a great run and I'm in a good place and then all of a sudden just something hits, right? It's like that extra expense comes in, something that unexpected. All of a sudden my clients, I have a week that like nobody shows up, whatever it is, right? And it doesn't matter how much I've worked. It just like, how do you get a healthy mindset when you're feeling so low in that moment?
Yeah. Well, we all have moments of low and you got to give yourself what the 5-minute rule or whatever the time frame that's healthy for you. That's less than 5 minutes, right? But give yourself a minute and then move on. And two things. One, if it is really strategically controlled, the actual cash in the accounts, then you have more confidence with the highs and lows because it's there. It's physically there. Right. If it's not, if it kind of gets in this overdraft, I call it the overdraft zone. We're like, are we going to make it to payday? When's the next commission check? You know, it's a mind game. It is a mind game. And even the strong have the moments. And I think that's when, especially, we go to the journal, we dump it all out, right? Oh, this is all my fears. Right. There's different ways somatically to just fucking scream into a pillow because it's the energy we're holding of holding our breath. Is it going to be there, you know, and just releasing it is a healthier energy to get to be in the receiving vibration.
You're right. Everyone gets there. And sometimes it's just a pause and asking yourself, what is it really? The other day, I took my daughter again for something and it's her birthday coming up. So we're getting her a new iPhone. My iPhone happened to be also up for renewal, which is just a swap. It's not even like I'm buying a new iPhone. It's like trade yours in, get another one, pay $35 upcharge, you're done, right? Like not a big deal. But hers wasn't coming in. She had to order hers and mine was just there. And so I got mine before hers and I felt like I did the wrong thing. I put it towards money, but really I was just feeling guilty because it was her birthday and I felt I shouldn't get the phone before her because it was her birthday, even though it was just a free swap. And my daughter even turned to me. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she's like, Mom, why are you sorry? Like, I don't even understand. I have no problem with it. And I'm like, why do I have a problem with it? It's such a big thing, but it hides under money and it has nothing to do with it.
I'm glad you brought that up because it's deeper. That's your point. You're like, it's deeper. Yeah. So I did do one class recently. I teach classes on money energetics and strategy and stuff. And I did the one class about the childhood money imprint. And it's kind of this meditation where you're walking downstairs, like this spiral staircase down to like your youth when you're a youngin, 5, 6, 7 years old. And there's a conversation happening and what room are you in? And what is it? Who's there? And what are they saying? And what do they say about money? Just trying to conjure a memory about money that you could kind of articulate or recreate in your memory from somewhere deep down, you know, in that staircase. And what it does is it brings to light some of the little imprinted moments that we think we forgot about, or that maybe we're not even recalling clearly, but that's our recollection of what happens. And that's part of our beliefs around money. And there's a lot of like this, these big words like security and safety around money, that's a huge feeling. It's not happy and joy. It's a core, like, am I living indoors feeling, you know? And so scarcity, like, are we going to continue to live indoors? And when you're little, everything feels so serious. And so for someone that feels like, you know, there's something more behind this, I love that class and that meditation, because it really, it starts to go deeper from our mind thinking to like our body and our cells and what we remember.
I love that so much, because then we blame money all the time, but it's really has nothing to do with the money at all. So if you can tell the listeners just one thing that you really want them to walk away with and start doing today, what would it be?
Okay. So I'm going back to moms. I think it's called Real Life Moms Podcast. Yep. Okay. So let's go moms. I am going to talk about what came up earlier, which is an actual envelope. Okay. And in this envelope, this is what I'd like you to do. Go in your house and find an envelope, moms. Okay. Listen to me. I have been sent to give this message. And so grab an envelope. Okay. And this is your envelope. This is your fund. This is your little secret, right? So I don't know where we're putting it. Maybe it's in the purse, in the closet, it's in the underwear drawer, but we have an envelope. And every week we're coming to this envelope, we're putting some money in it. It could be $5, $10, it could be $20. You know, that's really up to you and your household and what you can find laying around somewhere. But we're going to put something in this envelope, and it's going to start to represent two things. One, you're worthy of having money that's yours and only yours to do with it what the fuck you want, period. You're worthy. That is yours. And no one needs to know about it. Two, it's kind of fun, right? Let's say you do get $20 a couple weeks in a row, and we're just coming to this thing every Friday morning before work, right? Just pick a day, a time. You know, and we're adding to this fund. One, you're showing yourself in your inner heart, you are worthy of having money that's yours. And two, you're putting action behind it, and you're putting money in the goddamn envelope every week. And who knows what's going to happen with this? Who knows if this, you might buy a Rolex for your husband's next birthday. I don't know what you're going to do with it, right? But more likely, you know, it's this secret little earrings that you bought. And every time you put the earrings on, you're like, that's from my MF and envelope. That's my money. I get paid. I go to work. I contribute to this household. I run this household. I deal with all y'all. You get everything you want whenever you want and need it. Is it school books? Is it sneakers? Right? Is it tennis racket? Like, is it your golf driver? Everyone gets what they want. We get to get what we want too. And it can start on a small scale, like a little envelope, you know, with some money in it, and just stack it up and see where it goes. And that's what I want to leave you with. Money's complex, but this is simple. You can do this today.
I love that. And I do that a little bit differently. I have a little separate account. I have my business account, and then I have like a little separate business account. And every time I see a client, I just move $1 to it. And so by the end of the week, if I see 20 patients, I have $20 in it. And it's just my little secret, which now I'm on a podcast, so everybody knows.
But that's okay. I love that you do that, Lisa.
And I do. And it's all about, you know, something I read back in the day called Profit First. And it's all about paying yourself first, because you do have to enjoy money, even if it's only to buy yourself a cup of coffee. It's a trip.
Yes, I love that. Perfect.
So where can the listeners find you and tell us all the amazing things you offer? Because I heard about courses and different things. So yeah, tell us about that.
So joannadoybin.com is my landing page. You can always connect with me there. Book a time to meet with me one-on-one if you ever want to talk about money things. I offer that exchange. And also, I mostly live on Instagram at Joanna Doybin. And I do a lot of education there, a lot of lives, little trainings. And I am now, depending on when people hear this, but currently taking in the spring of 2024, one-on-one clients. I'm finding I wanted to stay away from one-on-one because it's so intimate, but that is the so opposite. Money is so intimate. It's so one-on-one. And so if somebody thinks they want someone to hold their hand, get control of their money, get behind the energy, you know, the icky energy. I'd love to do a discovery call and see if we're a good fit to work together one-on-one. And my classes will be available a la carte or as a bundle. Again, I do like mindset classes and wealth strategy classes, cash flow control classes. If you just are like a do it with me, but you don't have to hold my hand, but I want to see, you know, I want to learn. I want to go take a class from you. Those will be available at joannadoibin.com as well.
Thank you so much for coming on. Always so educational talking to you. Always makes me feel better and inspired to more.
That's my goal. That's my goal. Thank you so much for having me.
What can I say? Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I just loved our conversation about money and how it goes so much deeper than the actual money. I'm going to definitely start taking control of my money and stop letting money take control over me. And I hope you do the same. Please don't forget to check out the links in the show notes to Joanna's website and take advantage of all that she has to offer. Joanna said, start tucking some money for you so that you can do something for yourself, because you know what? You matter.